Amen. Amen. What a wonderful morning we've had already this morning. You know, you think about springtime. And for me, I mean, there's some things there that are very apropos. Hopefully I can get out on a golf course soon. I hope I can swing a golf club. And the different things that are going on, the different things that will be happening in sports. Baseball, I've really gotten to enjoy, considering our Washington Nationals are good. And it's good to have them and be there and watch some of the spring training games. I don't root for the St. Louis Cardinals. I know somebody here does a lot. But but we have a good time there. But somebody asked the question one time that there's baseball in heaven. And, you know, Bob and Stan were very good buddies and baseball friends. One day at a ball game, they made a vow to each other that whichever friend died first, that friend would send a message back to Earth to let the other friend know if there was baseball in heaven. Sure enough, one day Bob died. After a while, he sent a message back to Earth to Stan. Hey, Stan, this is your old baseball buddy, Bob. I have good news and I have some bad news for you from heaven. Stan thought about it and said, let's hear the good news. Bob said, well, the good news is there's a lot of baseball going on in heaven. Mickey Mantle is hitting home runs mile long. And you see Babe Ruth hit the baseball here, too. It really is baseball heaven. Stan smiled and said, hey, Bob, what about the bad news? There was a long pause. Finally, Bob spoke from heaven and said, the bad news is you're scheduled to pitch up here tomorrow. Anyway, to get serious a little bit, I really felt this morning the theme of the service today was just the blessings of God and forgetting not His benefits. I mean, we have a blessing in God. And we sometimes forget what those benefits are. And we don't remember sometimes what they are in each one of our lives. And we have to sort of go back and rethink those things and spend time there. Sometimes our lives are so busy that we don't sit back and just say, God, what have you been doing in my life? I know I've thought about that a lot in the past few months or whatever. So some time ago, I wrote an article for the Ramsword titled The Journey. And with your permission, I'd like to use this article as a base for the sermon and build on it, for we are still on the journey. We are still on the journey. And I surmise that many of you here are on a journey to find answers in your life, whether spiritual, emotional, or physical. Years ago, there was a radio commentator who was very popular and had his own syndicated radio program and was heard by millions. His name was Paul Harvey. Anybody ever remember those names? Anybody who's above 40? Anybody below 40 probably has no idea who I'm talking about. And anyway. But anyway, he would introduce a subject that was common to all of us, such as post-it notes and different things like that, and how they came about. And they would then say, and now for the rest of the story, and go back. Now, if you didn't know about post-it notes really came from a guy who was sitting in church. And he was a guy from 3M. And he figured out, you know what, I need to take some notes. And he basically did the experimentation or whatever and had notes there in church or whatever to be able to do those sticky notes. And he'd be able to develop that and make that happen. So that's how the post-it notes came about. So, well, for the next few moments, I'm going to give you the rest of the story in my journey, in our journey. And on March 17, 2015, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated that it had been 8 months since we were told that I had cancer. 8 months. It came right there in the middle of VBS. The journey continues for us. It has taken us to NIH for over 6 months, only to be told that the clinical trial that we were did not work, and they sent us home. A dead end. A dead end. Our journey has taken us on a new road with a new drug where I've had 3 infusions, no reaction to them at all, which has been great, praise the Lord, because we have no idea what that drug is. A brand new drug, It came out in end of January, believe it or not. I won't tell you the cost of it because it would shock you. Fortunately, insurance is taking care of it, I hope. But we're not sure where this journey will take us. But we trust that God is our guide. We trust that God is our guide. In fact, we accept God's fate in our lives. And we prepare, and when we're preparing practically for whatever God has in store for us. And I mean practically is that we're doing some diligent things about trying to prepare. My greatest thing about here is this in terms of preparing. Whenever it happens, I don't ever burden Sue with what goes on. I want her to, there's a checklist that goes on in my life. Now, for those who don't know me and are getting to know me a little bit, in my secular job, I'm a meeting planner. So I plan things out. I've got things organized. I know what I want to have things organized. My desk at work is very organized. I am not a person who has all types of papers all over the desk. I've got to have everything organized. I am a very much a particular person that way. So the same thing I want to do for Sue when it comes to the point, no matter when that time is, I'm going to be very practical of where it is. I even told Sue if we have a wake or whatever, I want to have snickerdoodles there, I want to have Oreos there, and I want to have fruitcake. So, so anyway, but you know what? We believe, we also believe in the healing power of God. We believe in the healing power of God, and we know He has to intervene. But in the meantime, we're preparing for the journey. Wherever God takes us, the journey is there. Whether it's 2 months, whether it's 2 weeks, whether it's 2 years, or if it's longer. Amen. We're going on the journey with God. The journey is God's journey, not our journey. Amen. We're just walking with Him. He's our guide. We're going along with Him. Each one of us has a journey that we're going on. And if we're going by ourselves without God as our guide, then we're going to get lost. We're going to have dead ends. So we need to understand that. While our journey is somewhat unique and unusual, we find that God's hand is in our journey. And I can share stories about how God has touched people's lives and used us through that journey to meet people along the way, stuff like that. In fact, I had a guy call me yesterday who led me to the Lord years ago. It was over close to 50 years ago that he led me to the Lord. And he says, you know what, I read this blog that Sue put out and I just needed to call you. Great friend of ours. In fact, he married Sue and I, performed the ceremony there. And we just had a good time just to share. He couldn't believe I was going to be preaching today. I can't believe he had the stamina to do that. Well, it's God's strength doing it. It's not me. Amen. It's God's strength doing it. It's not me. And but in the Bible, there are many journeys that affect a number of people. But I want to focus on this Paul and Abraham. And then some time on our own spiritual, our emotional, and our physical journeys. Looking at Acts 9:3-4, it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly a light shone upon him, around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul had another motive for journeying to Damascus. But God had other ideas. God had other ideas for that journey. Paul's journey was to persecute the Christians. God's plan for his journey was that it would be an apostle to the Gentile nation. He'd be an apostle to the Gentile nation. His journey that Paul had, in retrospect, he was going down this road. He had a journey going on. But God changed that journey that you're going to go and build my kingdom. You're going to build my kingdom. And I'm going to show you how you're going to do it. Now, you understand that Paul's journey was not overnight. There were times when the Scripture talks about he spent 3 years with Ananias. He spent another 9 years. He spent a number of years just preparing himself to go on that journey, to be the apostle to the Gentile nations. The journey was not overnight. He had to get some things right in his own spirit, in his own way. Even though the journeys were spiritual in nature, one was right, the other was wrong, God redeemed the journey in order to further His kingdom.
Amen.
And many times our spiritual journey, we're asked to do things that sometimes don't seem comfortable for us. You ever had that situation in your life? Say, God, I want to do it this way. But Lord, it's like Paul said, I want to do it this way. But God says, no, you're going to do it this way. In Acts 7, 2 and 3, it talks about, and he said, brother and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. Now, Abraham was very comfortable where he was at. Very comfortable. He had a nice home. He had a good family. And was well respected. He had no thought. He had it made, so he thought. He had no thought about moving. However, God was challenging him spiritually by telling Abraham to move out of the country, out of his comfort zone, to journey to a land that was not known by him. Are there times in your life where you're so comfortable where you're at, that God's calling you to journey someplace else, and you go kicking and screaming? Is that right? You go kicking and screaming because I don't want to go. I love this place. I just found the house. I found the house that is right for me. I love the commercials. There's a commercial on TV right now, I think a U.S. Bank commercial, where they're getting the loan and everything else like that. And it says, okay, we're ready to move in the house. Move in the house. And they're moving in. They're moving all the furniture in. They're moving there. And all of a sudden, the wife gets a message. I've been transferred.
Right.
And now they got to move out of the house to call the bank. They had found the house that they loved. But they were in a comfort zone. And God sometimes wants us to get us out of the comfort zone. It sometimes happens when we want to talk to people about the Lord. To get out of our comfort zone. I'll talk to somebody about the Lord if the situation presents itself. You know, sometimes the situation never presents itself in our own minds. Sometimes we need to talk to people about the Lord. Sometimes when you want to come, I'll come and talk about the Lord or really understand what the Lord's saying to me when I feel comfortable talking about it. Or want to open up my heart to Him. You know, God has other ideas of how He wants to work with you. However, God was challenged, go back, it says, move out of Abraham to move out of his comfort zone and journey to a land that was not known by him. Not known by him. Be like Sue and I moving from here to Wyoming. I have no idea what's in Wyoming. All I know is one of the least taxed states in the Union. Just found that out last night. But we wouldn't know anybody there. We wouldn't know anybody. Our kids would be here. Our grandkids would be here. Our church would be here. But if God said for us to move to Wyoming, we would move to Wyoming.
Amen.
I've got the cowboy boots. I've got the cowboy hat. I'm ready to go. But it would have to be confirmation for a lot of different people. But we need to hear God's voice in that way. And it talks about Abraham obeyed God and came out of the land and dwelt in Haran. As a result, God blessed him mightily. God blessed him mightily. More than he had before where he was at. Sometimes in our jobs, we have to sometimes get out of our comfort zone of a job. Maybe it's a job that we've been very comfortable in. And you start to go, and I'm one of those people that have been in my job for a long time, 40 years. But it doesn't mean that I didn't try to go out of my job and try to get someplace else. I did apply different places. I did apply over the years, different areas, but God didn't open the door for me. But at least I worked in that area. But there's sometimes where we get so comfortable in our job, we don't want to move. And God's saying, I want you to move. I want you to move. I want you to go someplace else. In your spiritual journey, where is God calling you to go or not to go? Where's God calling you to go or not to go? I remember years ago, Apostle Thurlow and Linda had to be what? Probably mid 1990s when God called them to go to Texas. God called them to go to Texas. It was 1997, I guess, somewhere in that area. Now you got to remember that they had one truck probably just full of books. But that was a journey that they had to take. And they learned some things from that journey. And God brought them back to this area. For the past 40 years, my journey at this time of the year has taken me to the association and run their convention. That's been my job. Whether it be Seattle, whether it be Atlanta, whether it be San Diego, whether it be Honolulu. I mean, somebody's got to do it in Honolulu, right? Along with other cities. It was my comfort zone. It was my comfort zone. I knew how to run a convention. I knew everything about a convention. One of the hardest things for me to do this year, because of my health, I was asked not to go to my convention by my doctors because they were concerned about the medical care in the city where the convention was being held. That was devastating to me. Sue can attest to that. It was very hard for me not to be at the convention site. Now, the convention's over right now, so fortunately I'm not there, but my mind was always there, my heart was always there, and I was calling people down there and stuff like that, but my comfort zone was there. I'm thinking things through. I said, well, they got this schedule, and this is going on right now, and this is going on right now, and this is going on right now. I wonder how the convention would fare without me, particularly the contractor's prayer breakfast, which is, for associations, it's one of the few breakfasts that's in an association other than maybe national religious broadcasters or something, things like that. But you don't see a prayer breakfast at an association. And that's one thing that I've been responsible for over the years, and to really having gotten Christ preached. We had a guy speaking today, this year, who was going to be an evangelist. He was an evangelist. Now, the one thing you have to tell an evangelist, and it's the hardest thing you have to do, is, okay, you've got this much time to share. Would they like to be at this much time? And to tell them to cut it back because we have a schedule to keep. And so he did a good job, though. But God taught me a very valuable spiritual lesson. Even though I was not there, the convention was a great success because of the staff that works for me. And the contractor's prayer breakfast had its highest attendance in years. What God was telling me was that He was in charge and is always in charge. Is always in charge. So in our journeys in life, we have to understand that God is in charge of where you're at right now. God is in charge where you're at right now. We need to understand that. We need to release ourselves and say, you know what? Because I believe our spiritual journey is a deeper relationship with God. By studying His Word, to getting to understand His Word, to follow His Word. That's the guidebook we need in our lives. To having in prayer and fellowship with others. You know, as Abraham had to get out of his comfort zone and think less about himself and obey God, we need to get out of our comfort zone and obey God. As I mentioned before, it's less and less about me and more about Him. That's what it is in our journey. Our journey needs to be less and less about what we feel and more about what He's calling us to do. Because if we keep doing things in our own mind, we're going to run into many dead ends. The clinical trial we went through at NIH, we did it because a doctor told us to do this. And I'm not saying it was wrong. It was something there that was there because the cancer I have is very rare. And it was a clinical trial to go and try to get this taken care of. Now, the best part is we were able to witness to a lot of different people and share Christ with a lot of different nurses that came by and different things like that. So it was a journey that did not really have a dead end, but just a detour, if you will. In our physical journey, which we're facing, and many of you have faced physical journeys in your life, you've had different things that happened in your life, physical things. You don't understand why that's happened to you. Different operations, different things have happened. But I've reflected a lot on the verse in Psalm 23. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. The verse indicates that we're just in the shadow of death. Let's understand that. We're not in death. Death hasn't happened. We're in the shadow of death. And we know that the light of Jesus cast away all shadows. The light of Jesus cast away all shadows. So our journey there is one that we're getting light. The light is happening. We're not walking in darkness, but we're walking with the light of Jesus. In our journeys, we need not to fear evil or the disease attacking our body. But we trust in the Lord, for God is in control, and we believe in His healing power. Because by His stripes, we are healed. The encouraging part of this verse, we go along on this journey, is that God is with us every step of the way. Every step of the way. You know, we were singing the song about arms of love today. And one of the things that really got to me about arms of love is that God is embracing you no matter how dirty you are. No matter how dirty you are. But what I sensed in my own spirit is that it releases you. That dirt has fallen away and you're now beautiful. You're now a beautiful creature going into the world. Because of His love, His unconditional love to each one of us. You know, the Scripture says He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will guide us along the journey. A brother shared with me this song to encourage me in my journey. And it was titled, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. No matter where the Lord takes you in your journey, His faithfulness is great. His mercies never end. Great is Thy faithfulness. We need to understand today that our journeys today, God is faithful. God is faithful. Somebody said that in Scripture, in the prophetic word today, that God has you right where He has you right now. You are basically a child of God because of what He's done in your life. Ephesians talks about we have a spiritual blessing in Christ given to us. And our journey begins, in our emotional journey, the enemy wants to derail us. He wants to derail us. He wants to lead us off the path of our journey. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. We need to set our minds on Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. In our journeys today, we need to set our minds on Christ. I can wallow in the disease that I have. I can wallow in where I'm at. I can understand that I have no hope for tomorrow. But that's not the right journey I should be on. The right journey for us is setting my mind on Jesus Christ. As Ron talked about today in communion, he says, we're no longer focused on yesterday. We're focused on today. Amen. God's power is today. Yesterday was yesterday. The snow's gone. The mud's gone. But we're focusing on today. We need to set our minds on Christ today and what He's got in store for us. Our journey begins with our minds setting on things above and focusing on them. There are many ads and books, etc., that can confuse the mind and make us emotionally unstable. We can read everything out there. In fact, when we first received word that I had cancer, the doctor told me to stay off the internet. For there's so much information out there, pros and cons, that I could easily get confused. And believe me, I can get confused. I can get confused a lot. My wife has taken over that chore. And just tell me if I need to know something. I just want to give accolades to my wife. She is my secretary, if you will. And this is a good thing. Because whenever I go to a doctor, she takes all the notes. She knows what medicine I'm taking. She knows everything about it. So what am I taking now? She has it all laid out. She's been the helpmate in my life. She's been there for us. You know, the doctor, what he gave me was very sound advice. For Satan is the author of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. If you're confused about where you are in your journey, understand that Satan is trying to confuse you right now. And I need a peace in my life, and I can only get this peace by settling my mind on things above, focusing on His Word and trusting in Him. You know, the Word of God, the 66 books of the Bible, is the guidebook of my life. Everything I need to know is in that Bible. Everything I need to know is in that Bible. God, I've read the Bible probably back in full, probably over 30 times. And every time I read the Bible, I find something new. I find something new. That God touches me that particular day because I didn't see it. Because He didn't want me to see it that particular time, because He probably says, Rick, you can't handle it. It's like an old movie. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle it that particular time because you get confused. But when He knew that my heart was open and ready to receive it, He would open up the Word to me that I would understand it a lot more and feel free to be able to move forward in my journey.
Amen.
For I know in our journey there's only one, Jesus Christ, who truly cares for me and cares for you and will lead you on the right journey. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares about you. How many times do we cast our cares on something else? We cast our cares on different things. I'm not going to try to name them because you know what they are. And we forget to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We forget to go to God. It didn't happen here. It did not happen with anybody here. But years and years ago, I had some guy want to meet me for breakfast at 5:30 in the morning. And I said, okay, well, I'll meet you. And basically he was asking me, Rick, should I buy this house or not? I said, have you gone to the Lord? No. Well, I'm not going to be your answer then. You go to the Lord and ask Him.
Amen.
And basically I shared it that way. We're still good friends. We're still good friends. And whether he bought that house or not, I can't remember right now. But he needed not to have me to be the one to trust. He needed to go before God Himself and hear the Word from the Lord. For He cares about you. And one final thought. You know, Sue and my family go on this journey and continue this journey. And we're still continuing it and believing. Still believing for VBS in July. But we're blessed that we have the body of Christ at Northgate to support us as we go through this journey. You're part of the people there that help us go through this journey. Again, we accept whatever fate the Lord has in store for us. We understand that our physical bodies are not meant to be here forever, but we're here to be spiritual bodies are there forever. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. That I can be able to be in the kingdom of God with Him. If our journey on this earth ends soon and I'm ushered in the kingdom of God, praise the Lord. Or if our journey continues, that we might continue the ministry and touch many lives. Maybe a separate time I'd share that. Praise the Lord. God is in control no matter what. And I want you to hear this very clear. You are treasures in our lives. And we love each and every one of you. We pray God's blessing on your life as you go through your individual journey. That God would be your guide. The journeys are not easy sometimes. Sometimes those journeys will take you on detours. They take you over mountains. It's not always through valleys of flowers and sun and different things like that. It might be a snowstorm. It might be something else. It might be a journey that you're not really wanting to go on. I can tell you right now, a year ago, I didn't want to go on this journey. But God's brought us on this journey. And He's taught us a lot. Somebody asked me a question, how are you and the Lord doing during this time? And it took me back a little bit to think. To think about, hey, where am I at with the Lord during this journey? And I had to answer some questions personally to myself. Did God really challenge me, help me to grow, but also helped our family to grow? Our family's gotten closer together. It's been neat to see this happening in our family. But, you know, journeys happen for a reason. Journeys happen that the glory of God would be lifted up.
Amen.
The journeys of God, the journeys there are not to be able to bring attention to ourselves, to me. And I share a little bit about me. But the whole purpose of the sermon is not to bring glory to me, but to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God in the journey we have. And the journey we have now is to go forward and to move forward and think, whatever time I have left, whatever time I have for us, is to glorify God.
Amen.
I mean, the whole purpose is celebrating God's life in me.
Amen.
And God's life, not my life, but celebrate God's life.
Amen.
In the journey we walk. Amen. Thank you. Amen.